case number 1421-443.
I tried. I'm like, oh boy. Read your audience. Just read your audience.
I'm glad the chief asked the question.
Yeah.
I was probably going to ask anyway.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your patience. Counsel, can you please identify yourself and your witness for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Colin Milne. I'm a staff attorney, Department of Emergency Services, Public Protection. I am representing the Commissioner of the Issuing Authority, and this is my witness, Officer Michael Marquette, M-A-R-K-E-T-T-E, and Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L.
Was this ever an issue? Oh, I never saw it.
So, are there parts of what the appellant, Nancy, is there something the appellant submitted that we don't have, or?
Oh, something that he tried to submit that was objected to.
Oh.
I have it if
okay.
You want to discuss it.
Okay, we will get there. This is the appellant submitted it, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
He gave me two pieces of paper yesterday, the day before yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, so
and,
this
within a week. I know I didn't make
yeah,
some made it within the 10 days after meeting with the officer.
Right.
And then the first selectman, you know, I met with him as well. But then I think the local council said, no, you know, neither of these are admissible. And I received an email that said, hey, we can't admit either of these.
Right.
The state objected to them.
Yeah,
you're objecting
yep.
to
yes.
us looking at them.
Yep.
All right, well, we'll get there when it's his turn.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. Well, now it's afternoon. Good afternoon, members of the board. We are here today because the appellant's pistol permit was revoked based on suitability grounds following contact with Southbury PD in December of 2020. The reason why we are here today is that Southbury police was dispatched to a single car accident at night. The Southbury police found that the appellant and the appellant's vehicle had struck a utility pole. Upon investigating, the appellant was deemed to be intoxicated, and in addition to the intoxication, had multiple firearms within the vehicle, including a chambered handgun that was found located actually in the passenger side, in the well there, in the floor, and additional long guns were found in the back seat within the vicinity of the appellant. Clearly, the department has concerns of individuals mixing alcohol with firearms, and we believe that type of activity, given the fact that there was actually a serious accident as well, renders the appellant unsuitable at this time.
Thank you, counsel. Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, I would. I made a mistake, a big mistake. I've been, out hunting for the day in the middle of COVID, took the day off, went out, had been in the woods, took some shots of a couple shots, freezing cold, was in my vehicle, headed back and, near my home and saw somebody coming up over the hill, truck slid into the woods, hit a telephone pole, hit a couple of trees. Didn't even think about the fact that, I was over the limit for drinking. Until, the officer showed up at my, side of the car. And I said, guys, can you give me a hand, call a wrecker? They said, have you been drinking? I said, yes. They said, are there any weapons in the vehicle? I said, yes, absolutely. There's long guns in the back. I've been hunting throughout the day, and I was on my way home. And they said, seems like you're at the point where, you're intoxicated. I said, I may be. I've been out cold all day. I didn't even think about it. They said, do you have any weapons in the vehicle? I said, yeah, absolutely. There's a loaded 380 on the floor on the passenger side. It was sitting here, in my control when I hit the telephone pole. And they asked me, why did it end up on the passenger seat? Can you grab it for me? I said, really? at this point, I'd rather have you guys go pick up the loaded weapon. I said, it's on the passenger side. They asked, is there anything loaded in the back? I said, no, the guns are in the back. They're secured. You know, they're not loaded. And that's when I came to the realization that I should never drink again. It's been 821 days since I had a drink, and went through my EAP process and DUI and got my record cleared, and that's what brought me to this day.
Okay, counsel, you may proceed.
Okay. Officer Marquette, can you state your current town of employment?
Southbury.
Okay. And what's your current job title?
Police officer.
Okay. How long have you worked in law enforcement?
Since April of 2012.
Okay. Can you describe your specific duties?
Investigate crimes, investigate motor vehicle accidents, respond to calls for service.
Do you have history of responding to DUI incidents?
I do.
And have you been trained to conduct DUI investigations?
I have.
Okay. Were you on duty on December 21st, 2020?
I was.
Okay. Do you recall having contact with appellant that evening?
I do.
How was it that you came into contact with appellant?
I was dispatched to a single motor vehicle accident in the area of Old Waterbury Roads.
Okay. What did you observe when you first arrived on scene?
I observed a vehicle, I don't recall the make and model, off the shoulder of the roadway. It was actually luckily positioned between the pole and the guide wire, kind of grazed and didn't actually fully strike the pole. The operator at that time was outside of the vehicle, and then an investigation ensued.
Okay. What did he say caused the accident?
He claimed that it was a patch of ice as he crested the hill.
What did you notice about the appellant's condition at the time?
I was able to tell that he was intoxicated, slurring his speech, he had a little bit of an alcoholic beverage emitting from his person's bloodshot, glassy eyes. Telltale signs of intoxication.
Okay. When you initially brought up that subject of that he was intoxicated, did he mention that he had been drinking?
He did not.
Okay. Was a search of that vehicle conducted?
It was.
Okay. Why was a search of the vehicle conducted?
He stated that there were firearms located inside the vehicle.
Okay. What type of firearms were recovered?
There was a loaded .380 with a round in the chamber and the driver's side floorboard, as well as several long guns within arm's reach, pretty much directly behind the seat of the operator, or the driver's seat.
Okay. What did he tell you? Did he tell you anything about... withdrawn. Did he tell you what he was doing that day?
He did say that he was out hunting.
Okay. Did you perform any testing as part of the investigation?
I did. I performed the field sobriety test.
Okay. Was he able to pass that test?
No, he subsequently failed.
Okay. Throughout this, in the field, did he ever agree that he had been drinking?
He did not.
Okay. Were other officers present?
Yes.
Did he during the booking process, how was the DUI confirmed?
Through the Draeger.
Okay. Do you remember the alcohol content that he actually ended up?
I don't recall the exact numbers. I believe both blows, if I remember correctly, were at least double the legal limit.
Okay. Was he cooperative during the booking process?
It would ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. Some things he would be compliant with, and then he would refuse, and then go back and forth. He was afforded the opportunity to speak to a lawyer, which I absolutely gave him. He did attempt to walk out at one point during the process, stating that I wasn't able to be present while he was on the phone with his attorney. I had to advise him that it's not exactly how the process works. And then from there on, everything went reasonably smoothly. I do recall when it came time to sign for your charges, he refused until I was able to verify that they weren't felonies because he believed that he wasn't a felon and was able to reassure me that and everything was signed with no issue.
Okay. Did he, even up until this process, was he still denying drinking in any matter?
He was.
Okay. Did you advise him on any issues with alcoholism?
I did, I, when we were speaking, I asked him if he had any issues with alcoholism. I believe he said sometimes or occasionally, something along that manner. And I advised him that, you know, it'd be best for him to seek counseling or assistance for those issues.
Thank you. No further questions at this time.
Sir, do you have any questions of the witness?
No, I don't. You know, I had a life-altering lesson. You know, learned quite a bit being there.
We're going to get to you in a minute, but first we have the opportunity to ask the witness some questions. Does anybody here on the board have a question? Attorney Cinetti.
I note in the file there is a quote attributed to the appellant saying that he sometimes struggles with alcoholism. Did you hear him say that?
Yes.
Okay. And this is an interesting Philip here. There's a letter in the file from his side from a fellow police officer in Southbury saying that we should restore his permit. Do you know that officer?
I believe I signed that myself.
Oh, well,
this is the document that we're objecting to, just for the purposes.
Okay. Well, oh, we do have it.
That wasn't supposed to be in the file.
Yeah, I know we've received notice, you know, the both of them rejected from council.
Well, I think we objected. The board would decide that.
That was in the file.
Yeah, of course, out of the barn.
For clarification as well, there is also an officer Manville,
yes,
and the first selectman is also a Manville.
I see.
So I'm not sure if it was Dwayne or Jeff, both of which, one works for us and one is my boss.
Okay.
Well, one of them was from you, but the one that we got yesterday, or the day before yesterday, definitely wasn't in your packet, because Jeff, first selectman, and the one that maybe you would sent him prior, like he may have gotten this to us for the 10 days before, because it's dated on March 6th.
I know it was in the packet.
Yeah, the one we have is dated March 6th.
Right, and you know what? The one that he sent me yesterday, other than the one with the first selectman, was also dated March 6th. So that one was sent 10 days prior
to, okay,
and belonged in the packet.
So this should be here.
What I would only, I was only made aware in the department, and as well as our unit, was only made aware of this, both these letters on, I think it was this past, I was in the office on Friday.
I could look, but I know I emailed both when I spoke with Nancy and just said.
Well, we have the letter.
Send them, and I will send them on to see if there's any.
We have the letter. The letter's in the record.
And that one was sent 10 days prior.
That's fine.
That was in his.
So this is in the record, and Attorney Cinetti, I don't know if he answered your question. Let's go back.
Okay, the question was, do you know the officer who signed the letter?
I signed the letter myself.
Okay, so you don't know. That,
yes.
That was the question, that's right. The answer.
And then there is another letter that was not in the packet that he sent also along with the letter.
Do you have another question, Attorney Cinetti? If not, I'm going
to
follow up.
I just wanted to know who signed the
letter. I'm just going to follow
up. I was going to follow up and say.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah.
No, I was going to follow up and ask.
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
Trusted the officer to, you know, did he respect the judgment of the officer? And obviously, if it was him, he does, so.
I was just going to follow up. So how long have you known the appellant?
Just from that incident and then short contact there afterwards.
The reason I'm asking is this, like, you've known him for 20 years and have a long history, he's suitable. I was just trying to base my opinion of your letter on what your basis, what are you basing your belief he is suitable on?
What is that, sir? Upon speaking with the appellant, I told him that I would at least talk to him before signing the letter.
Yeah.
And because it was pre-drafted, I didn't type it out myself. He had told me that he is now sober.
He
is now sober.
Okay.
So anybody making and doing everything right for the restitution, and I didn't feel I stood between him and his constitutional right.
And you did not draft this. He drafted it and you signed it, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But you read it, full knowledge.
Yes.
You have no problems with that. Okay. Did you meet in person? And how long was the conversation?
10, 15 minutes at most.
What, if I may ask?
I'm done. Go ahead.
What compelled you in that 10 to 15 minutes to give a significant recommendation?
I believe that where he was coming from was genuine. I could tell that he made a mistake. I understand the way that the incident occurred, but it seemed as if he was doing everything the right way. I'm all about giving people a second chance.
Other questions? Seeing none, Attorney Millen, do you have any other witnesses?
Can I just do a quick redirect?
You may.
Okay. Officer Marquette, do you have any experience with pistol permit examinations?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have any, do you handle the South Perry Department's investigations into suitability of officers?
I do not.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Any follow-up from anybody based on what Attorney Millen just asked the witness?
Is your chief aware you wrote that letter?
He didn't write it.
I did not write the letter.
It's his letter.
Yeah,
yes.
No,
you own it.
Yes, so we're currently under the resident trooper program. My assigned resident trooper sergeant is aware of the letter.
Just never seen it. What would make someone, what would he have to do to be unsuitable? Driving drunk with guns? If he fired the gun? When would you think...
If there was any act of violence or any, I understand that the acts therein were negligent, but like I said, I trusted him in his judgment now and that he's actually trying to do the right thing. I figured I would give him the benefit of the doubt.
What mistakes did he make on that day?
Drinking with a firearm.
What else?
Drinking and driving.
What else?
Having said firearms within reach while driving and then his actions while in booking.
What else? Hunting? Drinking?
Correct.
Firing the firearm while drinking? Probably we'll get to that. It just seems like you took a big, you're out on a ledge there with very little information. I'm sorry about that.
No other witness. Attorney Mill.
Can I ask one more?
Yeah.
If you were put in the same situation again, would you sign that type of document?
Probably not.
Okay, thank you. No further question.
Okay. And you're all set with witnesses, correct?
I have no further witnesses.
Okay. Sir, it's your turn.
Well, I'd start off by, thanking the board for taking the time to sit with me and hear my case and understand the situation. I'd like to first, apologize to the officer, because when I spoke with my counsel, who I chose not to bring because I said I can represent myself, he said, should I get something from the arresting officer? Should I talk to, the first selectman in town? Would that help anything or benefit anything in my case coming before the board? I sketched something up. I approached the officer, emailed him, got a hold of the records office, said, hey, I'd really like to speak with him. If nothing else, I get to meet the arresting officer from the worst day of my life, 821 days ago, and I feel better coming here knowing that he's not, in a position where I know that I'm going to meet him here from watching your guys' videos. The arresting officer might be here. What the mistake that I made in that specific situation regards the records that are on the record, and I knew it as soon as I got the email from the state's attorney, that I'd gone and sat with the first selectman, said, hey, Jeff, I got a DUI 2.5 years ago, made some big mistakes, turned my life around, hit my EAP, haven't had a drink since. I still work with friends and folks that I know and folks that I hunt with to make sure that, they're not drinking when we go out waterfowling. I made the mistake once, I'd never make it again, and I turned my whole life around that day. And so it was part of my process too, from being an alcoholic, to turn around that 820 days, to reach out to the officer before I ended up here and just say, hey, I made a mistake. I feel awkward now that I know how it unfolded in your guys' docket, that I'd asked him to even sign anything. I would have been better off just shaking his hand at the PD and telling him how I changed my life, and then, he's going to see me around town, then I'll never be that guy again. My lesson learned was I was going down the tunnel bad. I was drinking heavily. COVID had hit. I was working 70, 80 hours a week. Took a day off to go hunting. I was out hunting all day to answer the chief's question, without having a drink. At the end of the day, the sun was starting to set. Got back to my truck. I knew I had a nip in there. Sat, had a couple nips, started driving, was heading back to the house, and that's when I hit some ice, slipped off the road, and didn't realize, A, I hadn't eaten all day. I'd been pushing it for 12 hours straight, you know, and that's why my legal limit was through the roof. I was a little apprehensive, as you would be when a bunch of officers surround your vehicle, and you know you've got guns in it. That until I got to the PD, when I realized I was being arrested, you know, got to the PD, I asked the officer, I said, really, like, before I blow at anything or admit anything, can I speak to my counsel? You know, I don't know anything about what I'm dealing with here, but I know I made some big mistakes. You know, and I thought that I could go sit in a room and talk to my attorney. The officer greatly informed me, he said, listen, I really have to be here when you make that call. Made the call and realized, hey, no matter what I did, my whole life had changed that minute. I'd have to blow in the machine, admit I made the mistake. You know, and I've been spending 2.5 years of my life making up for it. That's what brings me before you guys here today.
So, are you going to leave those exhibits in the folder, or did you want to try to get those in?
I was hoping that I could, you know, destroy them so that they weren't a part of the record, okay. And they weren't, contrary to what the state's counsel had sent me an email after, I had emailed Nancy, if we could make those disappear, I'd feel a hell of a lot better.
Fair enough. They will not be in
this
the record.
This is fine. Yeah. I mean, I can take the one that was in his packet because it was sent more than 10
correct.
Days prior.
No,
yeah.
I don't think there's any dispute
there. No, we're good with that. So that stays in.
Yeah. This stays in.
And he's not trying to get those in.
One of them is this. One of them is
Okay. So there's just one more letter.
It's already here. We've already seen it.
Yeah.
All right, so
there's
this
another letter.
Stays, yeah, but the first selectman one can
stay
go
out.
What I learned is don't trust my attorney who said, yeah, if you can get something in writing, put it together, go see the cop and go see the first selectman, you'll be in better shape.
Didn't hurt it.
You know?
Well, I think it's never a good idea to write your own letters.
Yeah, that part. Right, and just to be clear, really our objection is more based on the conclusiveness. There's no known detail about why this person's
right.
That's ultimately what it was.
Attorney Milne, did you have cross based on what he just said?
Yeah, I have a couple cross questions. You keep using the word mistake a lot. And we've heard that, I think, word a lot here today. I'm getting to the question. I apologize. Did you intentionally drink the alcohol when you were in your vehicle?
I'll take credit for the fact that I chose to drink liquor that day, yes.
Okay. Did you intentionally pack liquor to bring with you on the hunting trip?
No.
Okay.
I happen to have liquor in my vehicle.
Okay, so is that you commonly have liquor in your vehicle?
At that point in my life, yeah, I was pretty severe alcoholic.
Okay. So you intentionally put this liquor into your vehicle at various times throughout driving that vehicle?
Over time, yes.
Okay. And you would you knew that those nips were full of some sort of alcohol.
Yes.
What type of alcohol was it?
Bourbon.
Okay. So each time before you got, was this a common occurrence? Sorry, withdraw. Was this a common occurrence for you to drink nips of bourbon before driving home?
I didn't hear you repeat that, sorry.
Was it a common occurrence for you to drink from basically nip bottles before you drove home?
No. The good thing is I worked the crazy amount of hours, but I'd always be at my house before I, decided to drink, and then I wouldn't leave. In that instance, I've been out all day, and I, decided to make the bad decision to drink alcohol.
Okay. So I just want to get so that the intentionality there. You talked about different treatment programs. Describe some of the treatment programs you've been in.
I've been through Alcohol's Anonymous. I went to meetings for probably 3 months straight. I immediately enacted my Merton EAP through my work business, or through work. Went to about 6 counseling sessions with that. I ran out of funding associated with the company. I continued for another 6 sessions, talking with a psychologist and figuring out why I was drinking, and that it was the stress related to work and COVID and chaos of no socialization. I made decisions in my life to build a bigger friend network, and at the same time, I also enacted the alcohol education program that comes along with the DUI so that my record was cleared at the same time so I could turn my life around and not make that mistake again. And even after the AEP program, I met some folks in there, and along with AA, seeing the same guys that were in the same programs and gals, and built relationships with those folks. Now we're a year out from not drinking. I continue to keep in contact with those folks via email and phone calls to try to sponsor them. When they fell off a cliff, they'd call me, hey Woody, how you doing? Are you still not drinking? I said, yeah, I'm not. I'm sitting in a bar. I said, I'll come pick you up. I'll come get you, I'll get you out of there, you know. And I've tried to maintain that relationship with a lot of cops and firemen and folks that I know from my career and support them. Long answer, but I've been working on it for a long time.
Have you ever been in front of this board before for a pistol revocation?
No.
Have you ever had your pistol revoked in the past?
No.
You've never had it revoked and otherwise then reinstated?
No, not to my knowledge.
You've never had any sort of arrests that have resulted in the past that have been seen?
No.
I have no further questions at this time.
Questions by the board?
Chief, you want to go first?
Chief, you can go. Whoever wants to go.
When was the last time you drove drunk? Drove after?
821 days ago.
Right. How about the time prior to that?
It had probably been, I think it was up in New York, my father's farm was probably 6 months before that.
How about prior to that? Not going to go back too far.
I can't say, Chief. Maybe another 6 months.
Okay. But your comment was you made a mistake once. You didn't make a mistake once. You've been making this mistake probably many, many years.
You're correct.
Okay. And how long have you been a serious alcoholic? Or I don't know if you use the word serious. I forgot exactly what you said. But how long have you been?
As far as what I would consider myself to be an alcoholic, about a year. It was a year that, that I was out of control.
You said you had a couple of nips. What does that mean? I'll tell you what, I haven't heard a couple of nips yet, but I've heard a couple of beers. And when someone says I've had a couple of beers, that means they've had anything but 2 beers.
Right.
So what is a couple of nips mean?
I would say, I really learned that after my AEP program, how it worked. I would say I probably had a pint of bourbon.
Yeah, that makes more sense, because your blood alcohol was 0.19.
Right.
Almost 0.2. Okay, so a couple of nips with minimization, which most people do. All right, those are the only questions I have.
What were you hunting for that day?
That day I had sat out for, it was a nice snowy morning. I decided to take the day off. I went out, I sat on a piece of property that I had permission to hunt. I was looking for deer. Didn't see anything, didn't see any tracks. I never even pulled the rifle out of the truck. I was out scouting around, just enjoying a day in the woods.
So you were in a rifle area. You could
yes.
See your rifle where you were.
Okay. Yep.
And the shotgun was for?
Ultimately, my non-work truck is my, weekend truck that on Saturdays I'd go out, and I had, a shotgun, a black powder gun, and a .30-06 rifle in there. Mm-hmm. My guys would usually meet me, and we'd make a decision. Are we going duck hunting? Are we waterfowling? Are we deer hunting? Was into black powder season. Mm-hmm. So, all three of those weapons were, bagged and tied up.
That was my next question.
Suited in
so
the back.
They were unloaded?
Correct.
In a case?
Correct.
And the ammo was in the trunk?
Ammo separated in the lockbox.
Okay,
yep.
So the only loaded gun was the .380 that was in your.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Actually, I do have one.
Sure.
At the very beginning, you mentioned that you had the gun here and you had the crash. What does that mean? It sounded to me like you said you had it basically in your hand.
No, my .380 has a clip on it that's inserted to the gun, so it was clipped on my belt. And when I got into the accident, went to get out of the vehicle, I had unclipped the gun and set it on the side, and in the process of, basically a center console in my truck, it was sitting on the top of the center console in the process of me putting the truck in four-wheel drive, trying to move it, see if I could get the truck out at all. At that point, I didn't realize that, I was that impaired. So I was trying to move the truck, see if I could get it stuck, or see, what was the situation with the truck. When I came back into the vehicle and I saw the police approach, when I flipped up my center console, it threw the gun down onto the passenger side floor. Because that's where my registration and insurance and associated paperwork was in the center console. So that's how it ended up on that passenger side floor.
I think the officer testified it was the driver's side floor.
It may have been.
Were you drinking nips or were you drinking a pint?
I think I was drinking out of the pint bottle that day.
So why did you say nips?
Quite honestly, until I was, asked the questions by you guys, I didn't get the moment of clarity on what I was consuming out of.
And when did this happen? This was December, end of December 20?
December 21st of 2020.
Right, so that's 2 years?
And 2 years plus.
In a couple of months, or
yep.
three months or so. So pretty recent.
No, yeah.
That's very, very recent to me. All right, thank you.
Other questions by the board?
I just have two quick ones.
Sure.
You're charged with possession of a firearm while under the influence. What happened with that case?
All the cases were rolled together in Waterbury Court.
Yep.
Put in under the alcohol education program to preserve my AR, and then the attorney was able to absolve all the course cases.
Okay, sometimes the alcohol, the DWI goes one way, and sometimes
right.
The, all right, but they were able to roll.
They were rolled it all together, and they were all resolved in June of 2022.
Okay.
22.
And you talked about AAEAP, the alcohol ed program. Are you a sponsor with AA?
I'm not a sponsor. I picked up some friends who I try to sponsor for contacts.
When was the last time you've been to an AA meeting?
I haven't been to an AA meeting. I stopped it 1 year. So I went 1 year after the event.
Yep.
And, you know, talked to some friends and folks that I know, and they said, Woody, if you can make it a year, you know, try to do it on your own, see how things go. If you need anything or you hit a bump in the road, get back in. You know, don't grab a bottle.
So you haven't been to any meetings or any counseling or anything like that in 15 months or so, give or take?
Correct.
Okay. That's all I have.
Other questions? Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
I'd start the same way that I started out, that you know, I had a completely life-altering, you know, pattern and event that one day, and December 21st, and I've worked hard to make sure that I don't go down that path, and I've cleaned up my life, my marriage, you know, everything that I had damaged during that period of a year when I was essentially destroying myself, and come to terms with that. I try to support all my friends and make sure that they don't end up in the same rabbit hole that I was going down. The most important thing to me about that day, when I think about it, when I'm sitting in my barn and I choose not to have a drink, is I didn't hit somebody. How lucky I am to be where I am and have the opportunity to come sit with you guys, that I didn't make that mistake, that God forbid I'd hit somebody, I wouldn't have been able to live with myself. So I made a lot of mistakes that day, and I've been turning around my life since. But that's my story.
Attorney Mill?
I do apologize, and it's not maybe this appellant themselves, but we've had multiple appellants come through with these DUI incidents and keep using the term mistake. There were intentional actions that day where an individual got intoxicated and got behind the wheel and could have had serious incidents. That was mixed with readily available firearms. I am just concerned that this appellant has not proven that they are going to be able to be suitable at this time. I believe that in the future they may be able to if they continue with their programming and have some more time and distance from the situation. But the concerns still remain, and I frankly do not believe the appellant has provided enough evidence to refute our grounds for revocation at this time.
Thank you, counsel. Brief factual.
So revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. Revocation is based on suitability. It's based on a single event occurred in December of 2020, 821 days ago to be exact. The appellant was involved in a motor vehicle accident. A single motor vehicle accident, somehow drove his truck off the road. Police responded, detected alcohol, failed a field sobriety test, was arrested, tested very high, 1995 and 0.1841, almost three times the legal limit, 2.5 times. The appellant testified he did have a firearm on him, a loaded handgun, at the time of the accident, which would have made him in possession of a loaded firearm while under the influence. The appellant testified he's been to AAEAP, the alcohol ed program. And I do credit the appellants, and I credit the last two, you know, 820 days of your sobriety. I think you were pretty candid. I think you did minimize the amount instead of nippers for pints. I did, you know, you lost some bonus points on that a little bit, but I do credit. I think you were very pretty credible on your testimony. We appreciate that very much. I do credit your sobriety. Yeah, and it's when you say the days, it does sound long. In the scheme of things, it's not quite so long. So,
Comments by the board, Attorney Smitty.
I obviously absolutely take your point. This is a very serious infraction. It's the kind of thing that we are traditionally very down on. Me, just like everybody else on this board, having a loaded gun when somebody is impaired is a bad thing. It's asking for trouble. Having said that, I think that each appellant is entitled to have his or her case heard on the merits as it affects them. And I believe in this case truly, from what he said, from what's in the record, from his demeanor, his candor, I do not think it would be a danger to the public to grant him a pistol permit at this time, so it, to give him his permit back, I should say. So I'm going to vote in favor of the appellant.
Other comments?
Well, I'd just like to make a comment that the, just for the record, the letter by the Southbury police officer really didn't play into my decision for determine suitability in this case, in which previous cases it has, in which we've had the, actually the testifying officer testify to the suitability of the candidate because of a long history. In this case, it's not playing into at least my decision process.
Other comments?
Carrying the gun while intoxicated is very serious. The more danger to the public at the time was driving drunk and it could have been my family, your family, anybody's family out there across the and someone could have been killed. And he rightfully so says he regrets that. He's very fortunate, which he is, and so is the person that would have been killed before me. So the DUI is just as serious to me as carrying a gun.
Other comments? I don't know where I start. Oh, I know, because I called you Attorney Rose. That's right. So Attorney Cinetti.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Colonel Overturf.
I'm going to vote for the appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Chief Rosenzweig. Chair votes issuing authority. Appellant wins 4-2. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.